Turning tonight, please, in the Word of God to the Old Testament book of Job. Job 33, verse number 14. And reading together, please, from verse number 14. Job 33, verse 14. Let's hear the Word of God, please. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. So does life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things work of God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Our text for tonight is verse number 24. Then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. If our Bible's open, let's just unite our hearts in prayer. Let's take these moments now, just before we come to consider God's message for this hour. Let's all pray. Let's seek the face of the Lord, especially all in the meeting who know the Lord. Let's pray now together. We need the Lord himself to come. And we pray that he will come even in this meeting tonight and do a work that will last the test of time and eternity. Let's all unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, again in the holy and blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we come again before thy throne, in Christ and through him. And how we thank thee for Jesus Christ, the lover of our soul. How we thank thee, Father in heaven, for the Lord of life and of glory, the one who's seated at thy right hand, a prince and a savior forever. And we thank thee, Father in heaven, that right now he pleads the merits of his blood and the triumph of his cross. We thank thee, our Father in heaven, that he's far more concerned about this meeting in Lisburn than we are here tonight. We thank thee, Father in heaven, for the church of Christ. And we thank thee he's building that church. We thank thee he's been building people into that church since Adam. He's been forgiving sin since Adam. He's been pardoning iniquity since Adam. And O God, we cry to thee that even tonight in this meeting, thou would forgive sin, pardon the sinner, save the lost. Come, O God, and glorify thy blessed and only Son. And Lord, there's not one here. There's not one in this meeting that's worthy that you answer that prayer. But, O God, answer it for Christ's sake. Answer it for the sake of the man at thy right hand. Remember his sufferings. Remember his death. Remember the church for which he died. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, come and bless us here tonight. Pour out the Spirit. Bind the devil. And, O God, I confess my great inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' holy blood, and fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power, and let the blood of the Lamb prevail, and extend that everlasting kingdom of God and of grace. Extend it tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the Galatians, in Galatians 1 verse 4, we read these words, speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The Apostle Paul was reminding the Galatians, and indeed himself and indeed us, of the great deliverance that has taken place in the lives of all God's people by the grace of God and the work of Christ. Paul was not speaking about a physical deliverance. The Apostle Paul was reminding those Galatian believers of the great spiritual deliverance that God had worked in their life by grace, and that he would work in it, delivering them from the presence of sin and a present evil world. I want to continue with that thought of deliverance, bringing it to this portion here that we're in Job chapter 33. And our text, which is verse 24, which says, "Then he is gracious unto him, and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom." The book of Job, many of the ancient writers believe that it is one of the oldest books of the Bible. Some believe it was written by Moses in the land of Midian, and then he took that book and he took it into Egypt with him before he brought out the Lord's people. And he used what had happened to Job and how it had all ended well for Job to encourage the Lord's people there in the land of Egypt before he brought them out. Yes, the book of Job, it takes us right back to that patriarchal time. But we see immediately in this book, taking it to be from that realm of the patriarchs, that right back then, man knew of this great deliverance that he needed. Man knew of the hell that awaited the sinner. And Job here, in this 33rd chapter, we have these words, "Then he is gracious unto him, and said, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." You see, dear people, tonight in this meeting, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, when paradise became a wilderness, when sinless man became fallen man, when obedience gave way to disobedience, when life became a journey to death, since that moment, this whole world in which we now inhabit as our generation, this whole world is in need of deliverance. It's in need of a spiritual deliverance. And I want to take the time that remains for me tonight to look with you at the words of this text. "Then he is gracious unto him, and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." I want to speak tonight on the greatest deliverance in the world. The greatest deliverance in this world. The first thing I want to show you about this deliverance is it's God who delivers. Look at the text with me. "Then he is gracious unto him." It's God who delivers the sinner. It's God who steps into the life of a sinner and delivers him and brings him from darkness into light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. And dear people, I want you to understand something tonight, that could it be across this gathering that there's a man or a woman and a young person and as yet in your life's existence, and I don't know you, but as yet in your life's existence, you have never been delivered from the journey to the pit. You've never been delivered from it. You're still on that journey. You're on that journey that Adam began when he ate the forbidden fruit. And he began that journey to the grave and to death. You see, I want you to understand, Adam was not created a dying man. Adam willfully became a dying man.
Adam disobeyed God, broke the law of God written upon his heart, took that forbidden fruit, plunged the race into death. And dear sinner friend, in this meeting, you're heading for eternity. We're going to see the pit that awaits you. If you never get to Jesus Christ tonight, but the first thing I want you to understand, dear sinner, in this meeting, it's God who delivers. Then he is gracious unto him. In the Bible, there are many names and titles given to God. One of them is found in 1 Timothy 6. Don't bother turning to it, I'll just tell you what it says. Which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The word potentate, it refers to God who is the governor of the whole world, ruler among the nations, a sovereign God, one who has power over all men and kingdoms. And that's the one who's speaking in this text. That's the one that delivers sinner. The one who's pavilioned in splendor. The one that's girded with praise. The potentate of time. The absolute sovereign. Perfectly independent. The blessed and only potentate. But sinner friend, in this meeting, I want you to understand, the writer here is describing the grace of this God to a sinner. Because he says, then he is gracious unto him. It's the unmerited favor of God. The unmerited favor of God to a sinner like you and I. He who's pavilioned in splendor. He who is adored in the heavenly world. He who has watched as other kingdoms rise and nations fall. That's who's in view in the text. The God of heaven. But dear unsaved, I want you to understand, it is God that delivers the sinner. But I want you to understand something else. You have wronged him. You've sinned against him, word, deed, and thought from the moment you come into this world. And every gospel preacher is commanded to God by God to inform you of that. To inform you that God is offended at that. To inform you that you've rebelled against his law. That you're guilty of high treason. That you've sinned against the Almighty. Every gospel preacher is called to inform you of that. To declare it to you. What you've done. What the consequences of what you've done are. You see, dear unsaved friend, understand this. When this Bible is open, God addresses the people. Therefore, we set up, we take note. God is immaculate in holiness. God before whom the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers. That's who addresses us tonight, God Almighty. But dear unsaved, you need to see this. That if you're ever to be delivered from your sin, it's God alone can deliver you. Not a preacher in this country can deliver you from sin. God delivers from sin. The words of our text, then God is gracious unto him. Gracious unto the sinner. You don't need me to tell you, people in Lisburn, what the word grace means, unmerited favor. Secondly, the people he addresses. Look at the text again. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him. Now, in the setting here in the text, some of you will be familiar with the book of Job. It's a man called Elihu, and he's addressing Job. He's speaking to Job of God's gracious dealings with men. But Elihu shows Job, in verse 14 to 18, how God calls men to repentance. Look at verse 14. God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, keeping sleep from him. God speaketh once, yea twice, man perceiveth it not. Dear unsaved in this meeting, God speaks once, twice. How many times has God spoken to you? That trouble in the heart,
That concern about where you're going to spend God's great eternity, that's God speaking. A trembling in the soul about the hell that awaits the Christ rejecter, that's God speaking. God speaketh once, twice. Take sleep from man. Why does he do it? Why does God do that to man? Because God is gracious. Look at verse 18. There's the reason. He keepeth back his soul from the pit. Dear unsaved, I want you to understand something. God troubles men in their soul. He takes sleep from them. He speaks once. He speaks twice to stop you going down to the pit. That's why he does it. There's a purpose in view. God is gracious. God addresses the sinner, speaks once, twice. But why does he do it? Verse 18, to stop men going down to the pit. Look at verse 20 with me. So it is life a poor of bread, and his soul dinty meat. There's no appetite. Verse 21, his flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. It's all the restraining hand of God. But why the afflictions? Sinner, why the afflictions? Verse 30 again tells us to bring back a soul from the pit. To bring back a soul from the pit. Oh, dear unsaved, I want you to understand this tonight in this meeting. You've been troubled in your soul, sleep troubled, wakened in the middle of the night. It's all God been gracious to you. To stop you going down to the pit. Understand that. Understand that those thoughts that come into your heart, when you're on your own in the quietness of your home, those thoughts that trouble you, the purpose of those thoughts being sent by God is to stop you going down to the pit. This portion is very clear. To stop you going down to the pit. God calls for repentance. That's what he's calling for. And sinner friend, you need to repent. You need to repent and believe the gospel. The gospel is not a take it or leave it. Well, I'll think about that. That's not the gospel. Christ commands men to repent. Christ commands the preacher, tell them I'm offended. They've broken my law. I'm angry with the wicked every day. Dear unsaved friend, God speaking, God troubling the soul. What an act of grace that is. It's the offended one coming after the offender. Just as it was in Eden. Our first parents listened to the lies of the devil. You'll not surely die. The devil was really telling them, sure, there's nothing to worry about. Adam and Eve were to find out there was plenty to worry about. What God said meant. Dear unsaved in this meeting, I want you just to pause and consider this. The great need for repentance. What is repentance? It means you need to be penitent. A turning from sin. Having another mind about it. Another mind in this subject. See sin as God sees it. Because what the Lord is telling you here, if you don't repent, if you don't listen to the voice of conscience, if you don't listen to the troubling in the soul, if you don't listen when afflictions come, if you don't listen to these things, you're going down to the pit. Because the purpose they are sent is to stop you going down to the pit. Dear people, I want you to understand that. They are sent as barriers to stop you going down to the pit. But I fear that even in this meeting tonight, there are some dear people, and we thank God you're in this meeting. But right to this point in your meeting, you have hurdled every barrier God sent you. You have hurdled every one of them. Every one of them you've hurdled.
You've hurdled the pleading of conscience.
You've hurdled Dr. Douglas's and Dr. Martin's sermons for years.
Hurdled the prayers of parents. Hurdled the pleadings of Sunday school teachers. Sinner, we don't understand this. You are hurdling that which is designed to stop you going down to the pit. It's time to stop at the hurdles.
Stop going on as if it's all going to end fine. It most certainly is not going to end fine.
The Lord says here in this portion to bring back a soul from the pit. We've seen the potentate of time. God is gracious. The people, a world of sinners. But let's look again at the text. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. The pit in view. The word pit is that word that can be translated perish or destroyer. Deliver him from going down to the destroyer. Deliver him from going down. Down. We're looking at direction here, dear people. And so that just means this. You die out of Jesus Christ, you're not going up. The smallest child in this meeting can understand that text. That text would have taught the exact same without the word down in it. It would just have said, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going to the pit. But the Lord shows us direction that we all might understand this. All who die out of Christ are not going up. They're going down. It's black and white. It's clear as crystal. From the youngest in this meeting to the oldest, we can understand that. Down is speaking of direction. Down is the where and the way the one goes that hurdles the barriers that God gives them to stop them going down. Do you not see if you understand this? You die out of Jesus Christ, your direction's down. Thus saith the Holy Ghost. Your direction is not up. The saints go up. Not because they're any better than you, but because they are forgiven. And they're in Christ. And where Christ is, his bride will be. But sinner, the Lord is showing you. God, who is gracious, is showing you. He's set these barriers before you. You've hurdled every one of them. And if you die in this condition, he's just making it plain tonight, you're not going up. You're not for heaven. You're going down. Down to the pit. Down there, with your memory fully intact. Oh, yes. Yeah. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, please. Christ shows here what it is, what it's like for a sinner to go down. Luke 16 is in eternity. I'm really breaking in at verse 19. It's a well-known portion. But you see, dear people, I want you to understand something. There's only one could ever have preached this message.
and it was the Christ of God. Because only Christ in his omniscient, all-knowing mind knew what was going on in hell. And here's a picture of a man that went down. And the Lord Jesus, as it were, just lifts the lid to the church until he returns to show them the end of all that don't go up. Christ lifts the lid just for a moment and lets us look in. Lets us look into the caverns of the damned. But I want you to understand, dear people, in this portion we see a man who remembers everything. Look at verse 25 with me. Look at verse 24 to get the setting. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But look at verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Oh, dear people, see that. Here's a man reminded of his life. Remember, remember, as Abraham says to him, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. You got exactly what you wanted. You got exactly what you lived for. Son, remember, you're here because you got exactly what you wanted. Now, young person or older person, let's deal with the darling sin. Because that was in view. There was some sin in that man's life that took him down to the pit, and he wanted it. And he's reminded of it in the caverns of the damned. Son, in thy lifetime thou gottest thy good things. And you can read that portion all day. You don't hear him contradict that. There are things he does say, but that's not one of them. He doesn't argue the point. He knows he got what he wanted in life. And what he wanted in life wasn't Jesus Christ. And now he has to face the fact, as he's reminded of the life he had. Son, remember. Oh, dear people, it's the memory of the damned. It's the memory of the damned. And dear people, in this meeting without Christ, you'll remember your sin. You'll remember Dr. Douglas. And the Reverend Martin plead with you to come to Christ. Then you'll remember the darling sin that kept you back. What's your darling sin? What's that sin that holds you more than the rest of them? Because I tell you, dear friend, that's the sin that's taken you down to the pit. And you'll remember that sin forever. And there's also, as well as a remembrance, there's a realization. There's a realization of hopelessness. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. So they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The word fixed there, it's the Greek word, it means set fast, established, set, steadfast, that's what it means, fixed. Dear unsaveness, I want you to be fully aware of what God is saying here. God is assuring this man, nobody passes over this chasm. Nobody. There's the remembrance in hell, and there's the hopelessness of it. Because nobody gets out of it.
God established the gulf. And for the lost in hell, there's this knowledge of their doom. Sir, I want you to understand something. Here's a man. He has five brethren. The Bible tells us that. He wants to get a word to them that they don't come here. God refuses that. God refuses that request. And young person or older person, let me just say this. You go down any Belfast or any Lisburn tomorrow, you get in a bookshop, and you might see a title, Voices from Beyond the Grave, or Messages from Beyond the Grave. I want you to understand something, it's a lie, because God says it doesn't happen. There are no messages. You want to see what's beyond the grave, you open the Bible, that's where you'll find it. The saints, Revelation 14, what's beyond the grave for them? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. The sinner, what's beyond the grave for them? These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Dear people in this meeting, I want you to understand this. God is gracious. God is addressing you. And Christ in love to the souls of sinners, listen to me, lifts the lid on hell that you might never enter it. That's why he shows us it. As I said, there's only one could tell us what's there. The Christ of God. But he lifts the lid that preachers can take it and warn the people, don't go down to the pit. Go back to Job chapter 33. The price in view. The price in view. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. The ransom speaks of the price of our redemption. It speaks of the deliverance of sinners. And now you'll know that word ransom. It's the word kopher, the Hebrew word kopher. It means pitch or atonement or ransom. The same word was used for the pitch that was put in the ark, in which Noah and his wife found refuge from God's judgment. But dear sinner, I want you to see this point now. Here we see the absolute necessity of the death of Christ, of the atoning work of Christ, without which we all go down. Without which nobody goes up. But God, who is gracious, says, deliver him from going down. For I have found a great ransom. I have found a great ransom. Dear people, understand this. The justice of God demands this. God will not overlook sin. The law of God demands it because it says the soul that sinneth it will die. The cross demands it. But dear people, you understand something tonight, unsaved in this meeting, the ransom was the blood of Christ. And the ransom has been paid. And the ransom was given to God as an offering. Paul spoke of that offering in the book of Hebrews, speaking of the cross of Christ, who offered himself without spot to God. Why? Yes, to satisfy divine justice. Yes, to satisfy all the just demands of the Godhead. Yes. But so that all who trusted in it, the finished work of Christ, would never go down to the pit. Never go down to the pit. Dear unsaved friend in this meeting. When Christ said he would give his life for ransom for many, he was saying he would give it to God as a ransom, a payment to deliver many. Now you see that word found there in the text? Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. You know how that can be translated? And I want you to read it like this. Dear sinner in this meeting, I want you to read it like this. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have received a ransom. Sinner, the payment is made. Redemption is accomplished. Hell has been defeated. Satan's head has been bruised. Heaven at this moment, and as the clock ticks, is being populated daily by sinners saved by grace. They're not going down. They're home with Christ. They're in that land that's fairer than day. But I want you to understand something. Take these words to your heart, dear unsaved friend, and we thank God you're in this meeting. But hear what God, who is gracious, is saying to you tonight. I have received from my Son a ransom, a payment to deliver sinners like you from going down to the pit. Let me close. There's a promise in the text, and there's a peril in the text. The promise is, if you come to Christ tonight, you'll be delivered from going down. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. In a moment of time, passing from death unto life. Let me tell you, dear people, as I said earlier, God has been saving from Adam. God has been forgiving sin since Eden. God has been delighting in mercy since Eden. God has been building his church since Eden. And all who are built into it never, ever go down to the pit. Remember this, it's God that said, deliver them. Just to take what actually the text says, is there a man in this meeting that needs to be delivered? God says, deliver him from going down. Because I have received a ransom. The ransom was the holy, sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And man or woman or young person in this gospel meeting, all who plunge and wash in that sacred fountain are cleansed from all their sin. It's the promise of the text. But the peril of the text is this. You continually hold that darling sin. You're going down. And I'm only showing you what the Holy Ghost says here. This is as near heaven as you will ever be. Now, dear man or woman in this meeting, or young person, is it not time to come to Christ? Then he is gracious unto him. God, who's rich in mercy, gracious unto the sinner, the offended one to the offender. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. In a few moments, we're going to sing our closing hymn. Charlotte Elliott penned it. As a young woman of 33 years old, a preacher came to her home. Said to Charlotte Elliott, "Do you ever think of spiritual matters?" She said, "None of your business." The preacher left it. 2 weeks later, she met the preacher. She said, "I would very much like to apologize for my rudeness." She said, "I would very much like to be a Christian, but I don't know how." The old preacher says, "Charlotte, just come as you are." Soon after, Charlotte Elliott, having passed from death unto life, having embraced the Christ of God, she took a pen and she wrote, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, and sinner God bids you now, O Lamb of God, I come." 49 years after she came to faith in Jesus Christ, she experienced the words that she penned in her final verse, "Just as I am of that free love, the length, breadth, depth, and height to prove, here for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I come." Sinner, soon your little season will end. Make sure you've been delivered from going down to the pit. Rest in the atoning blood and come to Christ tonight. May God write his word in our hearts. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. While every head is bowed and the Lord's people are praying, maybe there is one here and you are troubled. Don't go away. Speak to some of the session here, or myself. Be your joy to speak with you. Friend, listen. Make sure we all meet in heaven. Don't go down, but go home to glory. God will receive you, has found the ransom. The payment has been made, and the blood of Christ still cleanses from all sin. Speak to us after the meeting's over. Father in heaven, take thy word, take what's been of thee, bless it to every heart. Grant the saving grace. Even in these moments, bind the devil and his lies. O God, deliver the captive. O God, you've been delivering from Eden. Deliver tonight, we pray, and continue with us in Jesus' name.